This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. La ilaha illallah. Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar.
Wa ilahi alhamd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهد قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب. And when my slaves ask you about me, then indeed I am near. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I respond to the dua of the da'i, the supplication of the caller, the call of the caller, when he calls upon me. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي. So they should respond to me. وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. And they should believe in me. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. So that they are rightly guided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that He is qareeb, He is near, He is mujib, He responds. So we should all ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our needs and our dreams, our goals, our wishes. And anything that we are struggling with in our lives, we should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him to aid us, to help us, because Allah answers. And in this verse, we are encouraged to call upon Him in order that we may be rightly guided, in order to find out what the best thing to do is. Turn to Allah, ask Him for help. Today, inshallah, we're going to be talking about du'as for one's spouse. And marriage, remember, marriage is a huge blessing. In fact, it is an ayah, a sign from the signs of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. And of His signs is that He created for you from yourselves mates, spouses. Why? لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. That you may find tranquility in them. So the purpose of marriage is what? So that people find tranquility in one another. وَجَعْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And He placed between you affection and mercy. These two are key ingredients for a happy marriage. Affection and mercy. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Indeed, in that are signs for a people who give thought. We see that marriage is something that is encouraged in our religion. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ instructed young people to get married. In a hadith we learned, the Prophet ﷺ said that, Ya ma'ashar al-shabab, O group of young men, or O group of youths, meaning O young people, and especially he was addressing the men, that whoever of you can support a wife should marry. Why? Because marriage controls the gaze, it helps you control your eyes, and preserves one from immorality. And it protects a person from doing wrong things as well. And whoever cannot marry should fast, because it is a means of reducing the desire. So fast in order to develop discipline and self-control if a person is not able to marry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَأَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ عِبَادِكُمْ وَإِمَائِكُمْ. And marry the unmarried among you, meaning those who are unmarried, get them married, and also the righteous among your male slaves and female slaves. Yani not just the free, but also those who are slaves, get them married, because this is a human need. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises over there that إِن يَكُونُوا فُقَرَاءَ يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. If they should be poor, Allah will enrich them from His bounty. And Allah is all-encompassing and knowing. We learned that marriage is a sunnah of the prophets of Allah. Yani not only Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but even the prophets before him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلًا مِّن قَبْلِكَ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَذُرِّيَّةً. And we have already sent messengers before you, and we assign to them wives and children. Yani Adam alayhi salam, he had Hawa. Nuh alayhi salam, we learn he was also married. Lut alayhi salam, yani all of the prophets of Allah, we learn Musa alayhi salam, we learn that they were married. They had azwaj, they had wives, Ibrahim alayhi salam, and also dhurriya, children. So we see that marriage is a sunnah of the prophets, and we learn that when some people, they came to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they inquired about his habits, they seem to have belittled the amount of worship that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did. So one of the men, he said that I will not marry. Another man said that I will not sleep in the night. And the third said that I will always fast. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam found out about this, he did not approve of this. And he addressed the people and he said that I am the most God-fearing among you and most knowing of God among you all. And I pray in the night and I sleep. Because that one man said, I will not sleep in the night. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I pray in the night and I also sleep in the night. Another man had said that I will fast all the time. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I fast some days and do not fast other days. Another man had said that I will not marry. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that I marry women. And then he warned, he gave a warning that whoever turns away from my sunnah, then he is not of me. So it is not religiosity, it is not piety that a person forbids himself from marriage, or that a person forbids himself from sleeping in the night, or a person forbids himself from ever taking a break from fasting. In fact, the height of religiosity, of devotion, of servitude is in the practice of the prophets of Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his worship, his actions, his lifestyle is that which is most loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is why we have been told that in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni. That if you love Allah, then follow me. Meaning follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then what will happen? Yuhibbukumullah. Allah will love you. So remember that asceticism, this is not a part of our religion, where people abandon worldly or human desires. And they completely abandon them. No, there is moderation. So for example, yes, we are allowed to eat, but we have been taught that la tusrifu, do not commit excess. Where we eat on some days freely, we are also supposed to fast on some days. Where we are to sleep in the night, we are also encouraged to pray in the night. And when it comes to marriage, then this is not something indecent. The relationship, the lawful relationship between a husband and wife is not something indecent. It is not something gross. It is not something that is unbefitting to a believer. No, it is completely befitting. In fact, we learned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there is reward when a person has intimate relations with their spouse. And the Sahaba were surprised that how is that so? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that if a person were to fulfill that desire in an unlawful way, then would they not incur sin? And the companion said, yes. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that when a person fulfills their desire in a lawful way, then there is reward in that. So we see over here through these verses and ahadith that marriage is something not only permissible, it is something that is encouraged. In fact, it is rewarded. It is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is a gift, a blessing in this world. And Allah azza wa jal, who has created us, knows us. And he has created us with different types of needs and has given us a religion that accommodates all of these needs in a healthy way. We are not forbidden from fulfilling our needs. In fact, we are guided to fulfill them in a healthy, responsible way. So the first dua that we're going to look at when it comes to du'as for spouses is the one in Surah Al-Furqan, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the Ibadur Rahman, his worshippers, and one of the du'as they make is that they say, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. That our Lord grant us from among our spouses and offspring comfort to our eyes and make us an example for the righteous. Now here we see that the Ibadur Rahman are asking Allah to give them the gift of Qurratu A'yun through their Azwaj and through their Dhurriyat. Now Azwaj is the plural of Zawj, and Zawj is one of a pair. And the word Zawj applies to both husband and wife. So Zawjain, the two Zawj, refers to the husband and wife. So when a man, when men make this dua, then Azwaj refers to wives. And when women make this dua, then Azwaj refers to husbands. So both women and men can make this dua, they should make this dua, that our Lord grant us coolness of the eyes through our spouses, through our children. And when it comes to coolness of the eyes, and you're praying to Allah that, Ya Allah, grant us comfort through our spouses. So first of all, those who are not married, when they make this dua, in this dua, they're asking for the blessing of a happy marriage. Because hablana min azwajina, yani they're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for azwaj. And they're asking for a happy marriage, for qurratu a'yun. And remember that being single, that is something that is hard. And finding a good spouse brings to a person not only good companionship, it brings them friendship, it brings them the fulfillment of physical desire, and it's also a completion of half their faith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that إِذَا تَزَوَّجَ الْعَبْدُ فَقَدْ إِسْتَكْمَلَ نِصْفَ الدِّينِ. That when a slave of Allah, when a worshipper of Allah gets married, then they are completing half of their religion. So they should fear Allah in regards to what remains. Why? Because when a person gets married, then a lot of they are protected from a lot of wrong and indecency. Desire that is unfulfilled. And when a person is married, then there is a level of sukoon I am married. And a person is able to focus on other things in their life. I mean, this is very common. People who are not married and who want to get married, the only thing that's on their mind is marriage. If they meet someone, if they talk to someone, it's constantly on their mind. And they're not able to focus on their studies, they're not able to focus on their work. So when a person gets married, then it's as if they are completing half of their faith. And in marriage, there's a lot of opportunity to do good. Because now a person has a supporter in the worship of Allah, someone who can remind them, someone who will assist them, someone who will worship Allah along with them. So worship becomes easier. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that فَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِيمَا بَقِيَ. So the person should fear Allah in regard to what remains. Now this does not mean that marriage is a solution to all social problems. That, for example, if a person has a bad habit of watching pornography, then they think that their wife will solve their addiction, or that if someone has bad companionship, they're addicted to drugs, or any kind of issue, the family thinks get them married and marriage is the solution to all of their problems. No, it is not the solution. It is a solution. It is one thing that will aid them. A person must strive on their own part to leave sins. It's not correct that a person gets married to someone and puts them in a difficult situation, thinking that, by bringing someone into their life, all of their problems will go away and they don't have to, do anything. No, they have to go through therapy, through rehab, whatever it is that they need to solve their problem. And marriage is something that aids a person. It is certainly helpful. Then we see that in this hadith, we see that basically we are taught the importance of marriage because marriage is a human need. So if a person makes this dua, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ, there's nothing strange or shameful about this, that a person is wishing to marry. Because we see that in paradise, the Prophet ﷺ said that there are no singles in paradise. لَيْسَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ أَعْزَمْ. Yani in Jannah, everyone will be married. Everyone will have a spouse. SubhanAllah. So this is a human need. So if a man wishes to get married, they're not being weird. If a woman wishes to get married, she's not being weird. This is completely normal. It's a normal, healthy human desire. And the people who are married, when they make this dua, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ, they're asking for happiness in their marriage. Because at times, marriage can be a source of pain. It can be a source of anguish and worry. And so often it happens that, you know, a woman, because of her husband, she's crying out of hurt, out of feeling abandoned by her husband, or out of worry. And when she's crying constantly, her eyes are burning. So qurratu ayun is what? Coolness of the eye. Qurratu ayn is that you are asking Allah to take your worries away, to take your hurt away, to take your sadness away. And that will happen when your spouse is a means of joy for you, is a means of happiness for you, not a source of pain and hurt. And when there is marital peace, both the husband and wife are on the same page, they're getting along with one another, they're fulfilling each other's rights, they are affectionate and kind to one another, they are respectful to each other, they care about each other, then a person can sleep peacefully. And then the eyes can experience coolness. So qurratu ayn is coolness of the eye, which a person finds when they get to sleep peacefully. So we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for happiness in our marriages. And qurratu ayn is inner happiness. Earlier I had mentioned to you that the qurratu ayn is not that you look at someone and you find them to be very beautiful and their beauty pleases you. I mean, that certainly brings you joy, but qurratu ayn is the happiness you feel in your heart. And for the believer, what makes them really happy in their marriage is when they see their spouse doing good things, when they see their spouse being a good worshiper to Allah. Their physical appearance delights them, of course, but what brings them inner happiness is the piety of their spouse. Because a pious spouse fears Allah in regard to their marriage. For example, if a husband is obedient to Allah, worships Allah, then he will be careful about how he is treating his wife. When a wife is fearful of Allah, then she will be careful about how she is treating her husband. So this dua, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا, this dua is a means of strengthening the marriage, a means of strengthening the family, the household. And we see that here, before we ask for children, we ask for spouse, that is qurratu ayn. And this shows us that you can only focus on your children once your marriage is settled. And you can only expect that your children are a means of joy for you when your spouse is a means of joy for you. And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to change hearts. Sometimes a person feels that they're being neglected in a certain aspect of their married life. And they understand that they must communicate with their spouse, but they have a lot of difficulty communicating. Or maybe they have tried to communicate, but their spouse just does not understand. Or maybe they understand, but they don't care. Or maybe they do understand and care, but they don't know how to help you. They don't know how to accommodate you. It's not in their hands. It's not always in their control to change the situation, to change the circumstances. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to open ways for his slaves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to guide people, to give them the understanding of, you know, what they should do, how they should do things differently. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to change the hearts of people also. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam explained, that the hearts of people are in the are between the fingers of Allah, and Allah is able to, you know, turn the heart however, whenever he wants. So this is why it's essential that no matter what problem we are having in our marriage, no matter what struggle a person is experiencing with their spouse, it could be a communication problem. It could be the fact that, you know, there's too many family members who are meddling in their personal affairs. It could be that a person doesn't feel connected with their spouse. It could be that a person is feeling neglected. It could be anything that a person is struggling with in their marriage. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make this dua. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ. And so often it happens that, you know, people will speak to their friends for hours and hours, you know, complaining about their spouse. Sometimes they will talk to their family complaining about their spouse. And the purpose of complaining is just to, you know, lighten the state of heaviness that they experience in their heart. And if we put in this effort in making dua, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, you improve my marriage, you make things work out, then making dua will be far more effective. And if you want to seek advice as to how to improve your marriage, then go to someone who can actually help you. Read a book, attend a workshop, listen to a lecture, go to a marriage counselor. Do something to actually help your marriage. Complaining about your marriage, complaining about your husband, right, left, and center, is not going to fix him. In fact, it's going to make things worse. Complaining about your wife is not going to fix her. It's going to make things worse between the two of you. What is needed is that you actively seek out help, real help. And the first step is that you make dua to Allah. And then you seek professional help. You seek the advice of people who you know are knowledgeable, who are sincere to you, who care about you, and who will speak the truth to you, even if you dislike it. Because sometimes, you know, when we are complaining to our friends about our spouses, then because our friends are our friends, they're going to take our side. They're not necessarily going to tell us that, you know, you are wrong over here. You should not be talking like that to your spouse. You should not be treating your spouse this way. So seek help from where you are actually going to get it. And the first step to doing that is to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember that a happy marriage is a blessing from the blessings of paradise. We learn that people in Jannah will be admitted with their righteous spouses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, "Udkhulu al-jannata antum wa azwajukum tuhbarun." Enter paradise, you and your spouses, delighted. Yani, enter together, and all of you will be delighted. You will be made happy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَنُدْخِلُهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا لَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ وَنُدْخِلُهُمْ ظِلًّا ظَلِيلًا. That those who believe and do righteous deeds, we shall admit them into paradise. And the description of paradise is given. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they will have purified spouses in paradise, meaning their spouse will be completely purified in paradise. Also, we learn in the Quran, جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ يَدْخُلُونَهَا وَمَنْ صَلَحَ مِنْ آبَائِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجِهِمْ وَذُرِّيَّاتِهِمْ. Gardens of perpetual residence. They will enter them with whoever were righteous among their fathers, their spouses, and their descendants. Meaning, families will be united in paradise. So even if, you know, for example, one person, because of their deeds, they are in a lower level of paradise, then their rank will be raised so that they can join their righteous spouse. They can be with their righteous family members, their children, their parents. And we learned that the angels, they make dua for the believers. They say, رَبَّنَا وَأَدْخِلْهُمْ جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ الَّتِي وَعَدْتَهُمْ وَمَنْ صَلَحَ مِنْ آبَائِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجِهِمْ وَذُرِّيَّاتِهِمْ. That our Lord, admit the believers into gardens of perpetual residence, which you have promised them, and whoever was righteous among their fathers, their spouses, and their offspring. So the angels also make this dua. So we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, give me the gift of a happy marriage. Make this dua, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ. Make this dua, first of all, to find a righteous spouse. And secondly, to find happiness in your marriage. And no matter what it is that you're struggling with in your marriage, Allah has the solution. So call upon Him with yaqeen. Call upon Him with hope. Now, when it comes to finding a righteous spouse, this is something that is incredibly important. We learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that choose the best for your nutfa. Yani, you want to have children, then choose the best carrier. And he said that marry women who are compatible and give in marriage those men who are compatible. Yani, give your daughters in marriage to those men who are compatible, yani, in terms of deen and other matters as well. So it's very important that a person is deliberate and careful in choosing a spouse. Some people, you know, they're so eager to get married that the first person they will find willing to accept them, they will say, you know, yes, I agree, I accept. Don't have such low self-esteem or low self-worth that you think you are not good enough. So anyone who will ask for your hand in marriage, you have to agree. No, you have to see, are they compatible? Are they... is their deen such that it pleases you? Is their deen at such a level that will be a source of strength for you? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also advised that when someone whose religion and character you are pleased with proposes to your daughter or your sister, then marry him. Yani, marry your daughter or your sister to him. And the Prophet ﷺ also said that a woman is married for four things: her wealth, her family, her status, her beauty, her family status, her beauty, and her religion. And he said, you should marry the religious woman. Otherwise, you will be a loser. You will be a loser otherwise. So it's incredibly important to find a righteous spouse. Why? Because a righteous spouse will fulfill their duty to their spouse. So for example, when it comes to a man, the best thing in a man is that when married, he looks after his family. He provides for his wife. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. That the men are in charge of women by right of what Allah has given one over the other, and because they spend from their wealth. Meaning men are supposed to spend on their wives. And this is what makes them qawwam. This is the best thing in a man. The Prophet ﷺ said that what you feed yourself is sadaqah for you. What you feed your child is sadaqah for you. What you feed your wife is sadaqah for you. So when a man spends on his wife, he's not wasting his money. He is being rewarded for it. On the other hand, the best thing in a woman is that she is righteous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَالصَّالِحَاتُ قَانِتَاتٌ حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ بِمَا حَفِظَ اللَّهُ. So righteous women are devoutly obedient, and they guard in the husband's absence what Allah would have them guard. And both husband and wife should be loyal in marriage to one another. They should not be taking secret lovers, secret girlfriends, boyfriends. This is something that is not correct on the part of a man and also on the part of a woman. With regard to men, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, muhsinin ghayra musafihin, that they should be desiring chastity, not unlawful sexual intercourse. When it comes to women, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, muhsanatin ghayra musafihatin wala muttakhidati akhdan. They should be chaste, neither of those who commit unlawful intercourse randomly, nor those who take secret lovers. So the standard is the same for both men and women. Muhsinin ghayra musafihin wala muttakhidi akhdan. Same thing for women. So these things are very important in a marriage, and they will only be the case when a person is careful about choosing the right spouse. And the most important thing in a spouse is their piety, their loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if they will be loyal to Allah, they will be loyal to you. We learn in the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the world is only a quick passing enjoyment, and the best enjoyment of the world is a pious and virtuous woman. So the piety is what we should be seeking. Now, when a person is married, what is it that makes a marriage happy and successful? What are the ingredients of a happy marriage? First of all, remember, to live in a good way with your spouse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the men, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, that live with them, meaning your wives, in kindness. And you're living with someone, so live with them in a kind way. And that means that you are kind to them when you look at them, when you speak with them, when you spend time with them, you know. Kindness means that you help them, you don't abandon them, you listen to them, you show love and affection in different ways. You care about each other's goals and work and priorities. You support each other. وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And even if you dislike something about your spouse, appreciate what is good, because there is no perfect human being on this world, right? And if you are seeking someone who is perfect in every way, you will not find that in this world. You can only find that in paradise, in Jannah. So here, you have to, accept people as they are. You cannot expect them to be perfect, because you yourself are not perfect. People put up with you, so you should also put up with others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the men specifically, that فَإِن كَرِهْتُمُوهُنَّ فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. For if you dislike them, meaning your wives, then perhaps you dislike a thing and Allah makes therein much good. And it's possible that there's something about your wife that you do not like, maybe the way that she laughs, or maybe the way that she irons your clothes, or maybe the way that she drives around too much and uses too much gas. You know, could be anything that annoys you, that bothers you, or that she just goes on spending money without realizing how much she has spent. People have different weaknesses. So whatever it is that you do not like, focus on their good qualities. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that no man no mu'min, no believing man should hate a believing woman. Meaning no believing husband should dislike his believing wife. And if there is something that you dislike about her, appreciate the fact that she believes in Allah. And he said that if he dislikes something about her, he will certainly be pleased with something else about her. And if there's one thing that bothers you, there must be something else that pleases you. So focus on that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed the men, istawsu bin nisa'i khayra, that act kindly toward women. Be good to them. Do not be harsh. Do not be forceful. Do not talk to a woman like you're talking to a man. Do not yell at your wife the way you're yelling at your employee or someone who is on the street. No, be kind toward women. Do not be violent. Do not be aggressive. and do not be harsh. And this is in all matters, in bed, in the bed, and also everywhere else. And when you talk to her, when you are with her, be gentle, be caring. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the Quran that nisa'ukum harthul lakum, that your women are a tilth for you, a place of fertility for you. And even though this is referring to a specific matter, when a person is dealing with their plants, they cannot be harsh and aggressive with plants, right? You have to be gentle and careful. So likewise, men must be gentle, considerate when they are dealing with their wives. Even if there's something you have to tell her about that you're upset, show that in a nice way. Talk to her in a nice way. Because if you are forceful and you're harsh, you will cause her to break from the inside. You will hurt her feelings. And in a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also mentioned, that a woman is made from a rib, right? And a rib is a bone that you cannot straighten, right? Meaning that you have to accept the rib as it is. Do not try to change it. And just like that, you have to accept your wife the way she is. Do not use force and violence and aggression in order to, quote unquote, straighten her out. Because you will never straighten her out. You will only break her. You will only injure her and hurt her and harm her. And when you harm her, you harm your children. So do not use any kind of aggression with your wife. In fact, we are taught that a person should be loving towards his wife. And when he is loving towards his wife, he is not engaging in uselessness. The Prophet ﷺ said that لَيْسَ مِنَ اللَّهْوِ إِلَّا ثَلَاثٍ. And he mentioned some things that are not useless amusement. And one of them is that when a man and wife play with one another. And we see, for example, the Prophet ﷺ and Aisha radiallahu anha, they raced, right? This is not useless amusement. No, this is something that will help the husband and wife bond with each other, build happy memories. Likewise, the Prophet ﷺ stood at the door. Aisha radiallahu anha put her chin on his shoulder so that she could watch the people who were showing tricks in the masjid. So any kind of play that a husband and wife do with each other, and as long as it's something lawful, it is something permissible, it is not something useless, it is something encouraged, because it helps both of them get along with each other and build fondness and love. Another important thing is that something that helps people have a happy marriage is when they fulfill each other's rights. And these rights are, for example, the right of the woman that a man must provide for her, that a man must not abandon her. If he is angry with her and he needs to stay away from her for some time, he can go. He should not kick her out. That is not correct. And then, of course, respect to each other, love for each other, fulfilling each other's physical needs. All of this is essential for a happy marriage. Another important thing is that good akhlaq is incredibly important. The Prophet ﷺ said that the most perfect man in his faith among the believers is the one whose behavior is most excellent. وَخِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ خُلُقًا. And the best of you are those who are best to their wives. This is the standard. That if a person is good to his wife, then yes, he has good akhlaq. And yes, he is good in his deen. And it's important that we are not verbally abusive to one another in a marriage. Another important thing is that we should be grateful and patient. Grateful for the blessing of marriage and patient over the things that bother us. And another important thing is that there should be loyalty, not deceit, Because some people, you know, before their spouse, they are one person, and behind their back, they do very different things. So there must not be secrecy and deceit in marriage. Of course, people are allowed to have privacy, but not secrecy, because that means that there is some deceit, or there is, you know, things going on which could be harmful for the other person, and that would ruin the marriage. There's an author, or rather, there is a book published by the Gottman Institute, in which they discuss the sound relationship house. And they say that the sound relationship house, basically a good relationship between a husband and wife, this is built on seven levels. What are these levels? The first level is that both the husband and wife should build love maps, meaning that you should know your spouse and continue to learn about them, and continue to communicate with your spouse, listen to them in order to stay connected. Sometimes what happens is that initially, when a couple get married, they are very into each other. So they're always talking, always staying together, spending time together. But then over the years, as you know, one has you know, is busy outside the house, the other is busy inside the house, they barely get to talk to each other, and they barely get to communicate with each other. And so they are not even familiar with what their spouse likes or does not like. So it's very important that you know, you know your spouse, and you continue to learn about them. And you will only continue to learn about them if you continue to listen to them and communicate with them. Secondly, the second level is share fondness and admiration, meaning nurture love and admiration in your marriage. So at the beginning, we see that a husband and wife, you know, they love one another, but then over time, that love tends to fade away. And especially as there are, you know, children and strains and stresses in life, and then there is conflict, because of that, the love, it kind of begins to fade away. So it's important that, you know, both husband and wife work on that fondness, that admiration, and they build it. We see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was very loving towards Aisha radiallahu anha, and he showed that to her in many different ways. We see Aisha radiallahu anha said that, "I would drink when I was menstruating, and I would hand the vessel to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he would put his mouth where mine had been, and he would drink from the same place. And I would eat from a bone, and I would hand it over to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he would put his mouth where mine had been." This is how much love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed to Aisha radiallahu anha. And the fact that they ate together, this is also something that builds love and trust and fondness. The third level is that both husband and wife should turn toward each other, not away from one another. I mean, it's understandable that you have work, you have children to look after, you have things to do, but throughout the day, appreciate the small moments of connection, of positive connections with your spouse. So, for example, say salam in the morning, smile at each other, don't be grumpy first thing in the morning, you know, have breakfast together, share with each other what your plan for the day is, you know, send messages to each other, stay in touch, and turn towards each other, not away or against. Turning away is that when one is trying to hug, for example, the other turns away. When one is trying to make a conversation, the other just, you know, closes that opportunity. Turning against is, for example, snapping back and withdrawal, and not being interested in being with your spouse. The fourth level is positive perspective. And we discussed about this earlier, that there's always something about your spouse that you can dislike, but there's also something that you can appreciate. So focus on the positive, not the negative. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَلَا تَنْسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Do not forget the favor between yourselves, among yourselves. Meaning the favor that has been done, the good that others have done to you, do not forget that. The fifth level is manage conflict. Subhanallah, it is not possible to eliminate conflict. You can only manage it. Because conflict is something very natural. If the husband is thinking independently, the wife is thinking independently, which is a very good sign. If they think independently, that means that they will not always agree with each other. There will be times when they will disagree. Just because a husband and wife have something they disagree over, it doesn't mean that they don't love each other. It doesn't mean that they're not meant to be. No, having conflict does not mean that the marriage is ruined. No, conflict is something very normal. What is important is that we learn to manage it, that we communicate respectfully. We agree to disagree. We accommodate even when we do not agree. So manage conflict. Then the sixth level is make life dreams come true, meaning support your spouse in fulfilling their goals. And that means that sometimes you have to make certain sacrifices. You have to, for example, look at the children, take care of them in the evening so that your wife can study, or you have to manage housework on your own without your husband's help so that he can study. You have to support each other. And yes, there will be difficult periods, but at the end, you will grow in your love and appreciation for one another. And the seventh level is create shared meaning, meaning together produce something that is good, produce something that will benefit others. Also as a family, along with your children, create shared meaning. This can even be just family rituals that you make over the years and you stick to certain traditions that you stick to, because there's something that is keeping all of you together, so something that is bringing joy in your life. So some du'as that we can make in order to strengthen our relationships, our marriages. First of all, du'a for finding a good spouse. And that du'a is the du'a of Musa alayhi salam, where he prayed, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. That, oh my Lord, indeed I am for whatever good you would send down to me in need. Now, Musa alayhi salam, he made this du'a, and this du'a is a mustajab du'a, meaning a du'a that is certainly answered. Because we see that that du'a was answered right away. Musa alayhi salam, when he fled from Egypt and he came to Madian, he came in a state where he was, of course, fearful because the people of Fir'aun were looking for him in order to kill him. And he didn't know where he was going to go and where he was going to live and what he was going to do with his life. He was lost. And he was also, of course, tired from the long journey, and he didn't have any wealth with him. So in that condition, what did he do? We see that when he saw two women who were struggling with their flock, and they were not letting their flock drink water, he found that to be strange, and he went up to them and he asked that, what is the matter? And the women explained that we wait for the men, the shepherds, to go, and then we take our flock. And we have to do this ourselves because our father is an old man. So Musa alayhi salam understood that these women, they were struggling. And if they were to stand here, they would be standing all day. And it's possible that by the time the men leave and, they get to take their flock to the water will be finished. So Musa alayhi salam, he watered their flocks for them. And he returned the animals back to the women. So we see that he did ihsan to people without expecting any return from them. and with honesty. And he did not take advantage of the women. He did not demand a pay from them. He did not make any conversation with them. No, he just did his work. He did the favor that he wanted to do. And then he went to the shade and he sat over there and he made dua to Allah. And when he made dua, he expressed his complete weakness before Allah. That, oh my Lord, indeed I am, for whatever good you would send down to me, in need. I am faqir. I am faqir for any good that you send down. I am desperate. I will take anything. And he presented his absolute poverty before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we see that when the father of the women called him, he went and he was truthful and straightforward about his situation. He did not hide anything. He welcomed a good connection. And so what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him not only a job, a home, but also a wife and job security. And he got so much. So make dua to Allah. Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqeer. Sometimes when people are very eager to get married and they can't find someone, they think that they should perhaps, fall into an unlawful relationship. Musa alayhi salam did not do anything unlawful. He was not even perhaps seeking marriage at this time. He was asking Allah for guidance, right? For anything good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a home, gave him a family, gave him a job so that he would have some stability in his life. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his treasures are vast. Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqeer. Of course, another dua we can make is Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. There's another dua that we learn about in the Sunnah where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us this dua that Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min jari su. That, oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from an evil neighbor. Because if a neighbor, someone who lives next to you, is evil, and they bother you, they hurt you, they constantly harass you, then your life becomes very difficult. You don't find safety and comfort in your own home. And if you don't find safety and comfort in your own home, where else will you find it? So, oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from an evil neighbor. وَمِنْ زَوْجٍ تُشَيِّبُنِي قَبْلَ الْمَشِيبِ. And I seek refuge in you from a spouse that will cause me to become old before old age. A spouse that will cause me to grow gray hair, white hair, before I am supposed to have white hair. And he will cause me to age very quickly. And why is it that a person would age very quickly because of their spouse? Because their spouse, whether husband or wife, is a source of stress and worry, not a source of sukoon. For example, they're constantly doing things that are damaging to the family. Their speech is very vulgar. Their habits are very indecent. Or they have endless demands. Or they're always negative, always unhappy. Or you feel constantly abandoned by them. You feel that you're not supported. And for a woman, this is incredibly hard because, a man, for example, if he has a wife that he's not happy with, he can keep her and then he can also marry another wife and that would be lawful for him. But a woman can only be married to one husband at a time. And so many women, for the sake of their children, even though their husband is a source of constant stress and worry for them, they don't marry someone else. They don't leave that marriage. Why? Because of the children. I'm not supporting this choice, but I'm just presenting it that many women choose to do that. That even if there's abuse in the family, right? There's domestic abuse, they will still stick to the marriage for the sake of their children. So, any woman zawjin tushayyibuni qabla al-mashib, that, Ya Allah, you protect me from a spouse who will cause me to grow old before old age. And this doesn't mean that you are asking Allah to get rid of such a spouse for you. Rather, you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fix them for you. And people can change, subhanAllah. They can change. So ask Allah. وَمِن زَوْجٍ تُشَيِّبُنِي قَبْلَ الْمَشِيبِ وَمِن وَلَدٍ يَكُونُ عَلَيَّ رَبَّا. That, O Allah, protect me from a child who will become a master to me. And he extremely disobedient, very bossy, very demanding, and very arrogant. وَمِن مَالِي يَكُونَ عَلَيَّ عَذَابًا. And protect me from wealth that will be a source of punishment for me. And I seek refuge in you from such wealth that becomes a punishment for me. How? That a person is constantly looking after their wealth, their property, and the constant care that their wealth needs, it's a source of great hardship for them. So, وَمِن مَالِ يَكُونُ عَلَيَّ عَذَابًا وَمِن خَلِيلٍ مَاكِنٍ عَيْنُهُ تَرَانِي وَقَلْبُهُ يَرْعَانِي. And I ask you to protect me from a friend that is makir, that plots against me. How? That he's constantly watching me, and he appears to be a friend to me, but in fact, he is actually looking for, something bad in me or some mistake I made. So, إِن رَأَ حَسَنَةً دَفَنَهَا. If he sees something good in me, he hides it. He pretends like I never did it. وَإِذَا رَأَ سَيِّئَةً أَذَعَهَا. And if he sees something bad in me, he spreads it. And he spreads any mistake of mine or something like this, deceptive friend, basically, a dishonest friend, someone who's not really a friend. Ya Allah, protect me from such people. Another dua that we can make is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught this dua, that Allahumma alif bayna qulubina wa aslih dhata baynina. That, O Allah, join our hearts and mend our relationship. You see, sometimes the husband and wife, they're coexisting. There is no love. There is no, feelings of care and concern for each other. The hearts are not united. So make this dua that Allahumma alif bayna qulubina wa aslih dhata baynina. And you see that there are so many problems, so many fights, so many negative things that have happened, and negative patterns that have been established. So ask Allah, أصلح ذات بيننا. Ya Allah, mend our relationship. وهدينا سبل السلام. And guide us to the ways of السلام, meaning the ways that will lead to your home, the paradise. So وهدينا سبل السلام. Or سبل السلام also refers to ways of peace. Yani, guide us to those things that will be peaceful, in our relationship, not damaging, not disruptive. وَنَجِّنَا مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. And bring us out of darkness into light. You see, sometimes both the husband and wife fall into a sin that they're committing together. Or sometimes they fall into a bad pattern where, for instance, both of them begin to miss Fajr every day, every day, every day. It's just habit. Or both of them, develop the habit of, using foul language or committing certain sins, whatever sins they may be. So, وَنَجِّنَا مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Ya Allah, bring us out of darkness into light. وَجَنِّبْنَا الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ. And save us from indecencies, those which are outward and inward. وَبَارِكْ لَنَا فِي أَسْمَاعِنَا وَأَبْصَارِنَا وَقُلُوبِنَا وَأَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا. And bless us in our ears, our eyes, our hearts. Meaning, give us the ability to use these faculties in obedience. That we use our ears to listen to something good, our eyes to see something good, our hearts to think and believe in something good. And you see, barakah is ziyada. It is increase. It is growth. So give us the ability to use our hearing, our eyes, our hearts to increase in goodness, to increase in obedience to you. وَأَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا. And bless us in our wives and our children. meaning bless for us our spouses and children by giving them the ability to do good things. Because when they will do good, I will also do good. They will do good, that will make me happy. And for example, for a husband, you know, when a wife is good, it means that she will cooperate with him and vice versa. So, بارك لنا في أزواجنا وذرياتنا وتب علينا, accept our repentance. إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. You, O Allah, are indeed the greatest acceptor of repentance, the very merciful. وجعلنا شاكرين لنعمتك, and make us grateful for your blessings. مثنين بها, those who praise for those blessings. قابليها, those who accept the blessings. وأتمها علينا, and perfect these blessings for us. Because sometimes people, you know, even though they're married, they have children, they're very ungrateful for their marriage, for their spouse, for, you know, their house, for their children. So, O Allah, make us of those who are grateful for the blessings. Another important thing that we should be praying to Allah for, to improve our marriage, is that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for good akhlaq. Because a lot of times, relationships are ruined. They are destroyed. Why? Because of bad akhlaq. Because of anger, and because of rudeness, because of foul language, because of hurtful speech. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you good akhlaq. And you see, outside of the house, you can pretend, you can be pretentious, right? Even though you're angry, you can smile. But inside the house with your spouse, you are who you actually are. So if your akhlaq is not actually good, you cannot fake it with your spouse. So you need your akhlaq to become good so that your marriage will work. Your marriage will not suffer. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for good akhlaq. وَهْدِنِي لِأَحْسَنِ الْأَخْلَاقِ لَا يَهْدِي لِأَحْسَنِهَا إِلَّا أَنْتِ. Ya Allah, guide me to the best of conduct, for none can guide to that except you. And subhanAllah, sometimes, you know, when husband and wife, they're angry with each other, sometimes they say such rude things that they would not say to anyone else. They roll their eyes at each other. They begin to snatch. They begin to stomp. They begin to act in such a bad way that you wonder. And when you reflect on yourself afterwards, you're like, what is wrong with me? How could I behave like that? How could I respond like that? Why am I behaving so arrogantly? So ask Allah, Ya Allah, guide me to the best of conduct, because none can guide to that except you. وَصْرِفْ عَنِّي سَيِّئَهَا لَا يَصْرِفُ عَنِّي سَيِّئَهَا إِلَّا أَنْتَ. And divert from me bad conduct, for no one can divert it from me except you. So continue to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you a righteous spouse, to grant you happiness in your marriage, to make you a good spouse for your spouse. Ameen. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.